you. Well, good morning. And happy Mother's Day. Yeah, that's what's a honor it is to honor the mothers. Excuse me. I lost my father at an 8-month-old baby. Excuse me. My mother never get married. And she brought us, we are 3 children, and she brought us in the fear of Jesus Christ. So mother's responsibility is a lot to bring the children for Christ. So I do appreciate every one who is the mother up here. And once again, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And I'm really glad to be here after 4 years to stand in front of you. This COVID, you all know about that. This COVID made a mess of all the world, especially the India, because we do have 1.4 billion people in that country. I mean, every minute it's a shoulder to shoulder. 1.4 billion people in a small country. In a small country. I mean, if we compare with the size of the country, what you have in Alaska and Texas, how much land in those two states you have, that much land in India with 1.4 billion people. So this COVID made the mess, the country. But anyhow, God help us to still alive. I thank God for that. And I do appreciate every one of you. And thank you very much, Pastor, to give me this time. And I would like to share from the scriptures. And once again, I want to thank you for the Thompson's family. Thompson's family. When I called Becky a mom, when I called her a mom, I don't know how she thought about that. I'm sure I am the older than her. But when I called her mom, I don't know what she thought, but why I called her mom? Because she loves me, one of her children. I do appreciate, thank you very much for that. And yeah, thank you every one of you. And I would like to read from the book of Isaiah. Well, I do have my Telugu Bible, and I would like to read from well, no one can. I don't know how many languages when we get up there, but in India we do have over 20 languages in the country. But I would like to read from the scripture, from the book of Isaiah. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning through 6th verse, from the book of Isaiah. Well, before we read that, I want to give you a little bit illustration for that. In a school, the teacher asked her students, how can I get into the heaven? How can I get into the heaven? The teacher asked her students, and the teacher Can I help the poor and help the other people and to grow up in their lives? That the student said, no, you are not, it's not enough to get into the heaven. And the teacher again asked the children, can I sell my possession, I mean my home, my car, my everything to give it to the church, to help the poor, to help the grow the kingdom of God? The students answered, no, you are not. So what I have to do to get into the heaven? One of the 6 years old boy stood up and he replied to the teacher, you should die if you want to get into the heaven. Well, Jesus had a good conversation with the Nicodemus. You have to be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand what was the God's answer. Well, we need to, can I go back to my mom's womb to get into the heaven? No, that's not the real stuff. But you have to be reborn again. You have to born again if you enter into the heaven. So like that, we do the things according to our ways. We do things according to our will. But the Bible says, the kingdom, if you want to enter into the kingdom, you should die in order for us to reach in the heaven. Similarly, we do often things in our activities, in our thing, in our ways. But God tell. But the Bible tells us in order for a person to be saved and reach heaven, he should be washed in the blood of Jesus who shed on the Calvary 2,000 years ago. So we have to wash in his blood instead of do things in our ways, in our will. So we have to wash in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus. And it says, we will be saved. Romans 4:3 says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's God who makes us righteous and not by our good deeds, not through our deeds, but through the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. So let us read the Bible from the book of Isaiah, 49, beginning through 6th verse. O Israel, unto me, listen, O Israel, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft in his quiver with hath he hid me. And said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught. And in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to lead Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for the light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Let us pray. O dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we gather together in your name to glorify, to worship you. Lord, our forefather King David said, when the people come to me, shall we go to the house of the Lord? Yeah, I am glad about that, to go into the house of the Lord. Because, Lord, you promised to us, wherever two or three gather together in my name. Lord, we praise you for your presence this morning according to your promise. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I lift up this church unto your almighty hands, this church family. Lord, I lift up this people who is suffering with different health issues. Lord, please heal them. Please touch them with your almighty power, with your almighty, stretch out your hand upon them. And Lord, we pray for the Israel. Lord, we want to bless them because we need your blessings. So Lord, please open up their eyes. Open up their eyes to see thy righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, before I go to there, I do have a hard time to understand the Mississippi people of their accent. And I'm sure you have hard time to understand my accent. So please bear with me to understand what I want to. But before we get into the sermon, I would like to give you a brief introduction on what the sermon is focused on. It focused on four commandments from Isaiah 49:6 verse, which we would discuss one by one in the latter part of the sermon. They are not requests, but commands, which means they are not optional, but to do things in our daily checklist. These things we have to do in our checklist every day. The Christianity is not only Sunday's job. The Christianity is not only 1 week, not 1 year. As long as we live, we need to obey his commandments. We need to follow his footsteps. So that's the Christianity. That's the Christianity. In Isaiah 49:1-6 is a second servant song. There are four servant songs in Isaiah, which shows the sacrificial act of the ultimate servant, God, Jesus, for the redemption from the mankind. There are some verses, Isaiah 42:1-4, 49:1-6, like that. Redemption from what? Redemption from what? Redemption from sin. We all short from his grace because we all are sinned. But we need redemption. We need redemption. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How did we redeem us? How did he redeem us? Well, Isaiah 43:12 verse says, Therefore will I divide him a portion with a great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgression. Interesting fact. Eaton Barr, in his book Refuting Rabbinic Objections to Christianity and Messianic Prophetics, talks about the forbidden chapter from Isaiah. He quotes Ralph Levi's 17th century Jewish historian that a long ago, the rabbis used to read Isaiah 53 in synagogues, but it's made lots of argument and lots of confusion. The rabbis decided that the simplest thing would be to just take the prophecy out of the henceforth reading in synagogues. That's why today, when we read Isaiah 52, last Sunday, I met a missionary to Israel. He was the board member of a Jewish international board, and he conducted the communion according to the Jewish system. And he said, he mentioned about this fact, in Jewish, in synagogues, they never read this Isaiah 53 chapter. They didn't read the Isaiah's 15th chapter. So it's made lots of confusion and lots of argument of the 53 chapter. So we stop in the middle of the chapter, and the week after we jump straight to chapter 54. And the four servant songs, I want to give a little bit brief information about that servant songs. The first one, you should be my servant. You should be my servant. To be a servant of him, it's a challenging job. It's a challenge to be his servant. Because the circumstances, the health issues, the conditions of the human beings is not do not let us to be his servants all the time. We all some kind of shortage in our lives. We all do have that kind of shortage. And here it says, we in general, what's the task of a servant? You should be my servant. What is the task? To fulfill the will of his master. To fulfill his will of his master. Here, we narrow down to the into verse 6. The task of the servant is to reveal God's glory for God's glory to the nations and give light to the whole world. God himself called to the prophet by his name, and in assigning him as several duties to be pursued, a couple of duties which are mentioned in verse 1 and 2. The first verse, responsibility is to proclaim the word of God. The word of God. You see, to proclaim the God of word, I think it is easy to hear in this in the nation, in the United States, because if we want to try to tell about Jesus Christ, if they want to hear or they do not, okay, they say bye, we will finish that topic up there. But back in India, if we want to tell about Jesus Christ, it's a hard job, because they have, I mean, in India nowadays the population is 1.4 billion people, and they worship 33 million gods. And parents teach their children from their childhood how to worship a poisonous snake. Under the circumstances, how can we mobilize them with gospel, and how hard job it is? That too, nowadays, the federal government is trying to persecute the population, the Christians. The federal government trying to persecute the Christians. So to be, live a servant of Jesus Christ back in India, that's not an easy job. That's not an easy job. Because they worship 33 million gods. And whenever we start to tell about the God, the problem raised from there. The problem raised from there. We have this many gods, why you want to tell the God? Thus, Jesus Christ is not the Indian God. Jesus Christ is the foreign God. Thus their dilemma. That too, to be, live a servant of Jesus Christ over there, it's not an easy thing, because the weather conditions are not let them. I mean, now we are in summer, now back in India it's a summer. For that reason I am here, to avoid that heat. We do have 120 degrees with 80% humidity. Boy, it's unbearable heat. So to be preach the good news over there, it's a hard job. And the second responsibility is to be like a sharpened arrow. These two responsibilities God gave to his servants. If someone wants to live as a servant of Jesus Christ, they need to observe, they need to obey these two commandments. The sword speaks of the prophetic ministry in which the servant, filled by the word of the Lord, speaks that word which he is able to penetrate the hearts and souls of people. Hebrews 4th chapter 12th verses. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of and intent of the heart. The arrow as an instrument of warfare symbolizes God's judgment on those who do not respond. Ezekiel 5th chapter 16th verses, when I shall spend upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction. This is the problem to be his servant. To be his servant. But Jesus commanded to us, you should be my servant. And the second one is, you should be the light to the Gentiles. You should be the light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? We are the Gentiles before we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We all are Gentiles because we are not Jews. We are not Israelites. We are the Gentiles. So, once you accept Jesus Christ, you are the light to show the Almighty God. You are the light to show about your Savior to the Gentiles. And you should be the light to the Gentiles. Well, here it says, torture bearer, We often find the representing the nations in different events like Olympics and so on. You are to be a torture bearer representing Jesus to the Gentiles. You are the representative to the Gentiles. We often come across a lot of people in our workplace, grocery stores, hospitals, schools, and colleges, and many places. Wherever we are, our ultimate goal is to shed light upon the Gentiles. Wherever we are. Here comes a question, the Gentiles, we are the before we accept. Whenever Jesus went, he preached the gospel, performed miracles, and healed the sick on a healed the sick. But we do not have to heal the sick, but we don't have the power to heal the sick, but we are able to pray what you are doing for the Israelites. What you are doing for the Israelites, the nation have to open up their eyes. When they open up their eyes, well, they will. Not only Israelites, when we open up our eyes, we will be blessed. But whatever it is, Jesus had an opportunity to speak with that Samaritan woman, the Samaritan woman, because his ultimate goal is to tell about the kingdom of Jesus Christ when the time comes. So in the book of John 4:39 to 42 verses, she went to the everyone to draw the Christ, to draw them to Christ. Well, what are her qualities? She was socially outcast. Jewish women go in groups to draw the water from well in the mornings. Did she have any group? No, she had no group. She went to the well by herself at the midday. And she do not have a clean marriage life. And she do not have a theological education to tell about Jesus Christ. But she went to the village where she was from. And she told the people, well, the Savior is up there. The Savior is up there. Well, after they saw Jesus and their testimony is, we saw Jesus through our own eyes. It's not necessary to hear about from anyone. The Savior is up there. What a testimony. She don't have that much of qualifications, but she have had a heart to obey to his master. So you should be the light to the Gentiles. And the third point is, you should be my salvation. You should be my salvation, which means you should be my median of salvation. Peter says in 1 Peter, in 1st chapter, that we are more privileged than the angels as we got more opportunities to share the gospel and win souls for Christ. We do have much opportunities. I had an experience this past month in April. I had a time to ride with a person called John. I thought John is a Christian because back in India, their names after their Hindu gods' names. The Hindu names gods after they call their names. I am my mindset up there. So I assume John is a Christian. John is a Christian. And when I am talking with him, when I started to talk with him, Brother John,
are you a Christian?
Well, he said, no, I am not.
He born up in this country. This country is founded on the Bible doctrine, on the Bible fundamentals. But he is not a Christian. His name is John.
And what's going on? What's his? He's in his 60s, and he retired from a school. After his retirement, he drove the vehicles to take the passengers from here to there. And when I speak with him, and he do not know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I thank God I had an opportunity to share about Jesus Christ to him. After you die, you know where you are going to? Where you will be, you know, your eternity? Well, I don't know. I never have been church. I don't know the last part. Well, Indian people think about that. They will die and born again 7 times. So Jesus didn't say like that. We have just one life. Either you accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior or not, you have only one life. The Bible doctrine says. So John have no opportunity to. So I thank God for him. I explained him. He said, by the end of our conversation, he said, well, brother, I'm trying to go to the church from next time onwards. So we are the salvation. We are the Gentile. We are the people to show the Gentiles about Jesus Christ. We are the persons of the people. And you should be my salvation. You should be. How do we do that? Preaching the good news. Preaching the good news of Jesus. How can we do that? Well, simple method in doing that is through the Romans Road, as we do in India, majorly in our door-to-door visits, in regular conversations with the people, and so on. We do have door-to-door evangelism situation. Well, one day, all the pastors and some of the church people went to a village to evangelize the people. And we went there with gospel tracts, and there were three other people with me, and I stand in front of a door, and I knock the door, and I knock the door. One of the woman, I mean the house owner of the that house, came out from the house, and he asked her, "Why? What you want? Why you are up here?" I told her, "Sister, we are so and so. We came from that place. Just we want to tell about Jesus Christ." Well, she got upset, and she shut the door and went back to house, and she came out with phone. You guys stay here. I'm going to call police. I'm going to call police. Well, we tried to be gentle with her. We want to please her. Doesn't matter. Whatever we tried to do, she never heard of. After a couple of 3 minutes, she shut the door upon our faces. Go away from here. We don't want Jesus Christ. So that's the situations, that's the things over there. So Romans says, chapter 3, 10th verse, no one is righteous, not one. And some other verses is here. And the last one, you should go to the end of the world. You should go to the end of the world. How can you go? There are 20 different languages in that country. There is no proper way still today. There is no plumbing system. There is no sewage system.
For these reasons, why day and night, I mean 7 into 24, we do have lots of mosquitoes. Lots of mosquitoes makes lots of physical health issues. Health issues. Under the circumstances, if a person from the United States come to there, well, Pastor Kurt and Roger Scott was there. That's a different story. But they were there up there 1 week, just 1 week. There is lots of problems up there. But there are 20 different languages to get there. It's a hard time. And so if you want to go there, the Indian federal government officially closed the doors. You are not allowed to, as a missionary, to come to there. But this is the time to the local people, to the local people, to preach the good news in that country, in that country. So what I am doing here, just we need your prayer support to preach the good news over there in that country. So what we've done in the past years, I do have just 10 minutes slideshow. I would like to show that. And after that, I'm getting from here. So I would like to show that slides. Next, please. And this is the India and its surrounding countries. That picture is a little bit light. The next one, please. And states about India. That's 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion people live in that small country. And it's 28 states, and there are over 20 local languages, regional languages in that country. Next, please. And the religions in India, there are 82% Hindus. Christians are just 2%. And they worship 33 million gods. 1.4 billion people worship 33 million gods. I thank God I do have one God who saved me. So next, please. And you see, people teach their children from their childhood how to worship a poisonous snake. The king cobras is very dangerous, and people worship the cows. They worship the they are worshiping the creation instead of creator. Yes, next one, please. And you see, this one is very sad situation, sad part. The federal government asked the public to give a hug instead of a human being on the Valentine's Day. On the Valentine's Day. But you know how I blessed. The other night, Becky cooked a big steak for me. A big steak. And in India, we are not allowed to cook eat the beef. So I'm blessed up here. So they worship the cows because they thought it's a sacred animal. And they believe reincarnation. And they believe people die and born again, die and born again 7 times. But the last stop, they believe they will become gods. So they believe that the cow is a sacred animal to them. Next, please. And people worship their vehicles because nowadays everybody have a 100cc motor bicycles. The roads are dirt roads and ditches everywhere. While they are driving their motor bicycles, if the phone ring, they pick up the phone. Excuse me. They pick up the phone and they drive the vehicle. So many accidents. Their prayers for those vehicles, for their safe arrival from A to Z. So they worship those vehicles for their next arrival. And the persecution in India. Next, please. And the persecution in India is growing up every day. The pastors being killed and the Christians being persecuted in that country. So next, please. And next, please. Yeah. Next, please. And this is one of the demolished church in the past 2022. The churches are demolishing nowadays. Next, please. And you see, over there is a link we mentioned up there. The radical Hindu party is in the federal government. They are trying to build, they are trying to bring the anti-conversion bill against to the Christians, to persecute the Christians. And they are trying to bring that bill through the Supreme Court. If this bill will pass, as a Christian, I do not have any opportunity to go a file in a police station against to the people who are persecuting the Christians. So pray for that bill for those people, the Christians in that country. Next, please. And this is the other church building demolished, and people try to convey their agony through their protest for the demolition of that church. But no one is up there to hear about their agony. They are still underneath the situation. Next one, please. And yes, please. Next, please. And we do have baptisms. Over 25 more, some people have baptized in this past year. So that's the church where we do have the water pool to get the baptisms. Next one, please. And we do have some young and elderly people are baptized over there. Next, please. And especially this elderly man up here. I worked with him almost 10 years to bring that guy to that position. I mean, whenever he need, whatever he need, I worked with him 10 years. After 10 years, this man, after a Sunday service, he came to me, "Pastor, I accept Jesus Christ. I want to take baptism." See, it's hard. It makes me happy. After 10 years, he come to that point. So if we preach the gospel, if we want to win the souls, it's take long time. It's not happen 1 month, 1 year. It's take years after years. So we do have an opportunity to preach the gospel. And that man was born in a Hindu community, and he grew up, and he was a government employee, but he retired. And we do have some other baptisms in the water tanks, water pools. The people, the village people, use that water to wash their animals, and that kind of stuff. Water is not clean. But I have no opportunity to give those baptisms in that villages. Next, please. And we do have a goat project. And what is going on, when I am here, I am raising the support to buy goats to give a family who is able to grow up their own livestock. And we hand out a goat. Next, please. And we hand out a goat to those families. And the first female baby goat what we have given, they have to bring back to the church. It will be given to the other family in the same congregation. Because we have 1.4 billion people. The upper caste have everything. The middle and the lower caste people, their daily dilemma is hand to mouth. So this goat project helps the churches a little bit upon their feet to have some financial cooperation in those families. Next, please. And next, please. Yeah, we do have, in India, the lifespan is 58 years. When a person comes to 60s, 50s, they have no hope in their lives because there is no social security system. There is no health care and no nursing homes. So when a person comes to their 60s, their hopeless life, they are living in the streets with begging for their food. And we do the medical camps in the churches, and we hire a doctor a day, and we bought the medicines, and the doctor gave the prescription, and we do the... So whatever we do, either medical camp or God project, whatever we do, the main goal to preach the good news in that country. Next, please. And you see, once a year we bought the new clothes to the elderly people. In the ministry, these elderly people is just hanging in. So once a year we give them as a Christmas gift or some food and medicine, all the stuff. Next, please. And these are the pastors. We do have 10 pastors in the ministry. And once a year we buy, the ministry buy the new clothes to the pastors. We do have 10 pastors in the ministry. So that's the pastors. Next, please. And this is the shoebox program. This is, I think, one of the, this is a shoebox program, one of the church in Mississippi sponsored $1,200. With that $1,200, we do the shoebox program. I mean, we do have 120 degrees with 80% humidity. We are not wear the shoes up there and socks. But what we do, we buy the regular items. I mean, toothpaste, toothbrush, pens, pencils, and for the female children, hand hair clips and that kind of stuff. And we put those bags, those items, and we hand out that bag to the children. After they went back to home, they use that bags for their lunch bags when they are going to schools. So I do have 186 children on that day. These kids have a great day that day. They got good food, ice cream. In those villages, they have no ice cream. So the kids are really enjoy. So I do have 186 children on that day. And the team and all the people, they are giving the Bible verses to by heart, and they are teaching these Christian songs. So those are the kids we do have. That's the ministry, what we are doing. And what I want to request you, please remember in your prayers. And I, once again, I do appreciate every one of you who are here. And I do appreciate once again the pastor and Mark's family. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you very much.
Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. I'm just going to have you, Ryan, if you could help. Let's just get some music on in the back. We don't have to have the worship team up. Lord, we're grateful for Pastor Daniel, for his ministry, for his message. Lord, thank you for the many churches that he is over. God, we ask that you would protect them. Lord, we ask that the gospel would go forth with power in India through Pastor Daniel and his other pastors that he shepherds and leads. Lord, we ask that he would receive all the support that he needs while he's here in the States. God, we ask that you'd give him rest while he's here. God, we ask that you would give him fresh vision and a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, so when he goes back to India, Lord, that he would take ground for the kingdom immediately. Lord, we bless him and we thank you for him and for what you're doing there. In Jesus' name, amen.